Episode number 2 of Road Trekking, the RV Lifestyle Podcast.
This is Tim Mallon. My wife, Carol, and I are from Ontario, Canada, and have enjoyed the Class B RV lifestyle for 2 years now. We own an 06 Road Trek Adventurous. Much of what we've learned about RVing in that time, technical and otherwise, has come from regularly visiting Mike Wendland's RoadTrekking.com website. Now newly retired and looking forward to traveling throughout North America, we aren't surprised that Mike's new Road Trekking the RV Lifestyle podcast is just as informative and entertaining as his website. It is definitely a valuable item in our RV toolkit.
It's time for Road Trekking the podcast. Traveling North America in a small motor home. Exploring, camping, boondocking, embracing the RV lifestyle, and sharing tips and where to go and how to keep things running right. Here's award-winning journalist Mike Wendland and his network of road trekking reporters.
Welcome back, everybody. No matter you have a small motorhome like the Road Trek Jennifer and I travel in, a big RV, a fifth wheel, a pop-up, heck, even if you dry camp in your car or tent or just thinking about getting an RV, this show is for you. We talk about, about getting out there, enjoying God's creation, meeting interesting people, exploring the countryside, sharing tips, and keeping our RVs running right. That's what Road Trekking's all about, the RV lifestyle. And we welcome you back for episode number 2. I want to thank everybody for all of the kind remarks, like we heard from Tim Mallon there and many others. You'll hear some of them in future episodes. It has just been a ball doing this. I can't believe how much fun it is. It's almost as fun as being out there traveling. A couple of people, though, have said, hey, okay, you're doing videos on the website. You're doing blogs and photos. Why are you now doing a podcast? Well, I'll tell you why. Because it's fun. I mean, it is a heck of a lot of fun, and I get to involve many of you that we don't see because, you know, we're in different parts of the country. We may be traveling in one spot, and you may be across the country. With the medium of a podcast, we can all connect through messages that you can leave at roadtrekking.com. There's a little thing on the right that says leave a voicemail. I can bring you right into the program. And the show is just great. This is the most personal medium out there, and if you look at the statistics, you will find it's stunning how popular podcasts have become. I did my first podcast like 10 years ago when I was working at the Detroit Free Press, and I did one also for my NBC PC Mic Tech Reports. But about 10 years ago, it was really hard to get a podcast. You had to download it to your computer, and then you had to somehow transfer it over to your iPod or your MP3 player. I don't even think they make iPods or MP3 players. It's all on the iPhone now, or a tablet, or an Android phone. Well, anyway, they were great. They were a lot of fun to do. But only the techies, the geeks, the nerds were listening to podcasts. Well, that was, 10 years ago. And they almost died. Podcasts almost died about 3 or 4 years ago. But they have suddenly turned around. And the reason why is technology and quality programming. Technology has really improved. Apple, for example, has built in a podcast app on its iPhones and its iPads operating system. Android podcast apps are all out there as well. Bluetooth, now part of every automotive and RV entertainment system. And then there's faster internet speeds. I mean, if you're using that 4G LTE technology that most of the cellular providers now provide across the country, it's made downloading seamless, automatic, so much more efficient. So people have jumped to podcasts like crazy. And if you've been looking in the media, Fast Company Magazine, The Washington Post, USA Today, all the major publications, Forbes Magazine, have been doing stories just about how big podcasting is because it's such a personal element. You can listen to this if you want to listen to it, on a computer, if you want to sit down for 45 minutes or so and listen to an episode. But most people actually listen to podcasts on their smartphones or their tablets. They're so much easier to do. You just plug it in and put your earbuds in, and you can listen to them that way. You can start it up. It'll sync to your tablet or your computer or your smartphone. You can watch it, listen to it across all those different platforms, and it's a lot of fun. And like I said, you can be a part of all of this thing. this is what I really, really like about the podcast world that we're in now, that you can leave me a message. I can incorporate your questions. We can do interviews, lots of stuff. So anyway, that's why we are doing that. And we're going to have a lot of fun here in this episode. We've got many things coming. We got some listener questions. We usually do one a week, but Jennifer will be joining me, and we'll do some questions from listeners that have come in over the week about RVing and how we roll in our RV, and some questions that I think will help you. I've got some great tech tips. We've got an interview as we start talking about winter. You know, winter's coming. Why? We got to winterize our RVs. But one of the best ways to protect your RV, if it's in storage or if you're keeping it in the backyard or in the driveway or at a storage place, is you really want to think about having a cover. So we're going to learn a little bit about RV covers. So lots of interesting stuff to go on. And remember, you can be a part of this all. Everything we do, we want you and your voice.
You're listening to Road Trekking, the podcast. You can find show notes, links to resources and websites Mike and his guests mention, and background material, videos and photos on the roadtrekking.com RV travel blog. And you can also send Mike a voice question to answer on the podcast. From the blog, just click the send voicemail button. That's at roadtrekking.com. The small motorhome RV travel blog.
It occurs to me that one of the things I should talk about when I'm talking about this podcast is how you can listen to it, because I suspect a lot of you out there have never really heard a podcast before. So let me just spend a couple of minutes here and give you some ideas and some apps that you can get to make it really cool. First of all, I hope you subscribe to this podcast. There'll be a link, you know, on the podcast page on roadtrekking.com blog. You can subscribe. You can subscribe to iTunes if you use an Apple, or if you use Android phones, you can also subscribe there. Why do you want to subscribe? Because once you hit that, it will just, when a new episode goes online, it will just automatically be in your queue on your little podcast app. And then you just, oh, there's a new episode, and you hit play and play it. Now, I mentioned iPhones, and a lot of you have an iPhone or the iPad tablet, and Apple builds in a great app. I mean, you can't beat this thing. You click it, just do a search for Road Trekking RV Lifestyle podcast, my name, and you'll find it, and then just click and subscribe, and it will bring every new episode in for you. You don't have to do anything, and anytime you want to listen to it, you just hit that app, go to my podcast, and then play the one you want to hear. And like I said, most people listen through earbuds on their iPhone or their iPad, or just the speakers on the iPhone or iPad, or through a Bluetooth speaker. I'll have something later on in the program about a really cool speaker that Jennifer and I use for not just podcasts, but for music and for even calls that we can share when we want to call the grandkids or something. All right, but how do you do it if you have an Apple? That's easy. You do the app. Or there's some third-party apps that are great. I really like the app from Stitcher. Stitcher, like, you know, stitching, sewing, and all that stuff. Stitcher. Stitcher.com. It's a free app, and it's a very elegant app. And you can subscribe to us through that as well, and many other podcasts. And that works on all platforms, whether it's a Mac or an Android. But if you have an Android, there's a couple of different programs I'll recommend. The free one is Podcast Addict, A-D-D-I-C-T, Podcast Addict. And I'll put links up on the show notes on the roadtrekking.com blog if you want to download these apps. Podcast Addict's free. It's pretty simple. Works like all the other ones. You just find the ones you want, and you hit subscribe, and you're good to go. There's lots of options you can choose from. You can search by name manually, or yeah, there's a thing called an RSS feed for you geeks, and you can add that. Podcast Addict for Android, and it works good. I like a little better podcast, or Pocket Casts, it's called. Pocket Casts for the Android. It's another very nice app. This one, though, they charge $3.99 for. But it's a lot more elegant. It looks much better. It makes finding podcasts real easy. And it works, again, on Android phones or on Android tablets. Now, here's one that you may not know. I think a lot of you use Flipboard. If you have a tablet, an Android, or an iPad tablet, Flipboard's a really cool. It grabs an RSS feed, which is kind of like the address that a website uses so people can aggregate or find it and get all their information, you know, automatically downloaded on a reader. Well, that's what Flipboard is, but it makes it look like a magazine. I think many of you use that. But a lot of you probably don't know that you can also use Flipboard for podcasts, and it'll play right through the speakers or the earbuds of the tablet or the iPhone or the Android device. Real cool. All you have to do is have the RSS feed. What's an RSS feed? That's a bunch of a geek speak code, but it works pretty neat, and I'll have all the instructions on that on the show notes if you're really interested in it. You can pick it up from the roadtrekking.com blog. Okay. Now let's talk about winter. Winter. Where I am in Michigan, the first snow flurries have already started to fly in the northern part of the state. And it's time for a lot of people to think about putting their RV away. Some of us use it all year. I do. In fact, I'm just planning a big one, a big get-together out in the middle of the woods in the Upper Peninsula in January with all the snow. You can find that on the roadtrekking.com blog. But a lot of us just leave it at home. You know, we don't take it out the year, and it sort of sits there in the garage or in the backyard at a storage facility.
Your motor home is probably the biggest single investment that any of you will ever make outside of the purchase of your actual sticks and bricks home. So that means you have a big investment to protect. And you do that with maintenance. You take care of your vehicle. But what about when it's outside? What about the exterior life of that motor home? Well, on the other line with us is Marcia Hugger from Hugger Covers. And you can learn all about those at roadtrekkingstore.com. Hi, Marcia. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful today, Mike. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, except winter's coming. That's never good, is it?
Well, it's never good, but it's a great opportunity to start looking towards getting covers, to, just as you earlier said, that to protect your investment, which is a wonderful thing to do. So that's what's happening right now. We're really busy sewing and getting it all together for storing vehicles, and in your case, all the road trekking.
Yeah, the roadtrekkingstore.com is where you can find them. Now, Marcia, first of all, tell people, why do they need a cover? Why do you need one for your RV?
Well, you need a cover for your RV. Like, you have a huge investment, and you definitely want to protect it. You want to protect it against things like certainly like the UV, the acid rain. The UV is really, really bad, certainly for your paint. It damages your paint. It fades your paint. It protects you against the sun and the dust, any of the pollutions. It also against any little unexpected things, for instance, like if somebody just – it's not armored steel, but any little unexpected dings and debris like leaves, tree sap, bird dropping, animal claws, all that kind of stuff. It has water repellency, and yet it's breathable, so it does protect it against the rains and anything else. And the nice thing about it, if the rain does come, it protects it. It repels it, so if a little bit of rain, for instance, happen to go through it because there was a heavy storm or something, it's breathable, so it breathes itself back out again. Unlike the waterproof covers, for instance, there's no breathability. So any moisture that potentially builds up between the vehicle's paint and the car it has no place to go. So what it does, it stagnates there and it damages the vehicle's paint.
Yeah.
So, you know, they're really important reasons to certainly get one of the covers through Road Trekking. store.com is the best place to get them, obviously.
Now, when you look at these covers, they're pretty expensive. Let's face it, it's a big investment.
Yes.
I see covers advertised, you know, at these big outline camping stores and all these, you know, mm-hmm. these big things you find everywhere, and they're pretty cheap. What's wrong with those? I mean, you know, for a season or two, do they work?
Well, I can't really speak on anybody else's product, obviously. What I can tell you is really about our product. Our product is custom made. We don't do anything universal. We don't do anything generic. We don't have small, medium, large, or, you know, extra large or anything like that. We actually get, and we have all the measurements for all the road treks, like all and Class Bs in general. We have the whole slew of them. And if we don't happen to have one because it's fairly new or whatever, we go and search one out and we measure it from scratch. So it fits. It is a perfect fit. What you don't want when you're purchasing something is you don't want to have like a bag, for instance. The wind gets at it. And I have seen some others. And again, I don't want to really put down anybody else's product. But you know, where they're actually wrapping around the whole unit, all these tie downs and stuff. We don't do that here. We make it as easy and as comfortable for somebody to put it on and take it off. In our case, we have things like the zipper doors, the side entry zipper doors. So even if you wanted to go in and out of your vehicle, you don't want to have to take off the whole cover. So this is an easy entry that the side door, you can load it up, you know, take your stuff out, do whatever you like with it. We also have a 26-foot feather cord, which is really good for easy installation. So once the cover is made, custom made here at my shop, what we do is when we put it together, we do it kind of inside out. So when the customer receives it from their box, they literally put it on the unit and they take their cord out of the little pocket that we provide, and then they kind of place it up, throw it up on top of their unit, and kind of wheel it back. So if you did have somebody there spotting you, it, just so that it doesn't fall off. And the same thing, when they take the cover off, they just have to fold it up and roll it so that when you put it back on, you roll it in reverse. Hmm. So it's things like that that we make very easy.
Now, what about the custom stuff? You mentioned it's custom, but you know, everybody does has a little different look on their Rotex. Some have a ladder. I've seen them with satellite dishes,
yes.
Stuff that, you know, alters the contour of the RV. You do it custom for that specific rig? Somebody has it and says, hey, I got a satellite dish and I got a Continental tire kit in the back and I got a ladder, and you actually make it fit for just that unit?
Absolutely. I was getting to that next, as a matter of fact, because that's really important. Just going back to the universal ones, they don't offer any of this. We do offer that. So if somebody happened to get some new gadget, like a new bigger air conditioning unit, for instance, as long as we know where it's placed and we can get through the manufacturer to find the measurements of it. So what we do is we reinforce that entire area and we retrofit it to fit that, not so that it can just go on and get, you know, torn or ripped or anything like that. The same with the mirror pockets. Some of the units, the mirror pockets do fold in, for instance, and some of them don't. Now, the ones that don't fold in, we make the actual mirror pockets for it also. Mm. And it's going to what you're saying about the ladders. We actually just had a customer, I think it was just Friday, that said that they were going to add a ladder on, so which is great for us to know. And it's really important when anybody's going to roadtrekkingstore.com to mention that with any extras, because we can definitely MacGyver the back of it to accommodate anything that they've put on it. Like you said, going back to the Continental kits, if they have it on or if they don't have it on, you know, we can MacGyver things like that. So that's where custom really is important.
All right. Well, it is the time of year that we have to start thinking about that. Now, I know this is probably your busiest time, and this is when everybody orders. So what's the turnaround time? Somebody orders. How long does it take normally?
Well, right now, from the time of placing the order through roadtrekkingstore.com, then we're looking at about two and a half weeks max, because it is a crazy time of the year right now.
Okay, well, that's not bad, you know, since it's custom made. And I suppose after they do that, you send them a note, or they send a note to any extra things that they want, like, you know, a cover for the tires and all that stuff.
Oh, absolutely. What happens is, again, going through roadtrekkingstore.com, we would get the orders from you folks. And if there's anything that we think that, you know, we're unsure about something or something that we could possibly let the customer know that's available, we will definitely call them ourselves directly.
All right. Now, I know you do road trek covers because, of course, they're the, you know, they officially recommend you. I know Jim Hamill, the president of Road Trek, says you make the best cover out there. But
absolutely.
But, you say other bees, leisure travel vans, you do those?
Yes. Yes.
Pleasure Way?
Pleasure Way, absolutely.
And then there's a whole bunch of bees that Winnebago makes.
Winnebago, yep. That's right, yep.
Well, Marcia Hugger, I thank you so much for being with us on this edition of our Road Trekking Podcast. And
well,
I know
thank
you're
you
busy
so much.
Up there sewing. You got all,
yes,
those, all those elves working on the,
yes.
on the covers.
That's right. It, like you said, Mike, it is just the season. So, you know, what I can say to you, your customers, is please go to roadtrekkingstore.com. They're the best place to get them through. They're one of our best dealers, and we work really well with them, and we'll be more than happy, and we're ready when they're ready.
Well, that's great. Well, I appreciate you, and it's always fun to see quality products like that. So have a great season.
So
Marcia Hugger, thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Marcia Hugger from Hugger Covers. You want to think about a cover for your RV.
News. Mike's got news. RV news, travel news, tips and trends about the small motorhome lifestyle. Here's the road trekking news of the week.
Hey, we got a bunch of stuff in for you. How about Yellowstone National Park? You know those drones? I have one.
Actually, I think I'm in the process of selling it, but I bought one. I've had some cool video with them. They're a lot of fun. They're little tiny remote-controlled quadricopters, and you can put them up and take video. Well, they've been outlawed in most of the national parks, and for the third time now in a month at Yellowstone, they've nailed some guy. The Rangers have nailed him. This is a guy from Oregon who they charged him with violating the ban against drones in Yellowstone. He flew the aircraft in the park, and they charged him, caught him, and he was fined $1,000. Two other guys were also nailed. One guy a couple weeks later in September, and then another guy about a week after. All of them were charged. Some of them had to pay $1,000 fine, $2,000 in restitution. So now you can see why I'm selling my drone. They are prohibited in national parks under some regulations that went through this year. The government said, oh, it disturbs the wildlife and it could damage sensitive geothermal areas. I guess if they crashed and fell and got caught up in one of those pockets. And the public doesn't like them either. They think they're getting spied on. So anyway, it's been banned, and Yellowstone is really cracking down. Three people charged, lots of bucks, $1,000 and $2,000 in restitution. $1,000 fines, not a good thing. Speaking of the national parks, there's a really interesting piece that I read this week in the National Parks Traveler magazine. Very cool magazine, by the way. And it took a look at a typical day. I guess I shouldn't say typical day because there were a lot of incidents here. But one day, this was September 24th, a busy day for rangers at the park. And the National Parks Traveler magazine has done a little piece that just sort of does bullet points of everything that happened out there. And it's really interesting. We know those parks are busy, but we don't know how busy our rangers are. Here we go. You ready for this? This is just what happened in one day, September 24th at Grand Canyon National Park. 53-year-old woman on a private river trip. She developed cardiac problems, was evacuated from the National Canyon area. A 69-year-old woman on a commercial river trip who suffered a broken leg, short haul via helicopter from Havasu Creek. 33-year-old guy on a private river trip. Those things had a lot of problems that day. He was evacuated after he had a very serious cut in the groin area. 43-year-old female backpacker, acute appendicitis, had to be evacuated, taken to a hospital. 29-year-old man had cardiac issues, was extracted from the north rim. A 52-year-old backpacker had a leg injury, he had to be flown out. A 51-year-old woman on a commercial river trip had a knee injury. She ran into a rock or something on the river trip and was evacuated. They sent four rangers to a place down by Crystal Rapids, and a flipped and stuck raft there. It took four rangers, two sling loads of equipment, a two-day recovery operation. And then there was a woman, a 65-year-old woman, who they caught staggering along the rim. And she had attempted to do a hike that would take her rim to rim in a single day. 65-year-old woman, she was so low on salt levels that she had to be rushed to a hospital. So there you go. That's how busy these national parks can be. And that was September 24th, when you'd think it wasn't quite as busy. It was in the summer. Ask those rangers. They were pretty whipped out. All right, one more story. This is for all of you vacation fans, the old Chevy Chase movies. I don't know if you caught what happened in Medina, Ohio, but remember Cousin Eddie and his RV? Of course you do. Everybody remembers that scene. Randy Quaid played Cousin Eddie. Well, a little museum, a Christmas museum in Ohio, had picked up that. He bought that RV from a Hollywood prop shop that supplied it to the movies. Well, somebody vandalized it. Yeah, Cousin Eddie's Christmas vacation RV vandalized. They ripped off some parts. And anyway, the cops got it. They had surveillance tapes. They're trying to catch the bad guys. And the museum says they're going to fix up the museum. So there you go. That's our RV news of the week. Hey.
Questions. You've got them. Mike and his network of road trekking reporters have the answers. Here's one of our listener RV questions of the week.
Well, welcome back to our number one co-host, the COO of RoadTrekking.com, my boss, Jennifer, my wife. Hello, dear.
Hello. Nice to be here, Michael.
Well, we're getting a lot of questions. I can't believe how many people are calling in and leaving voice messages on the RoadTrekking.com blog. And, you know, normally we do just one a week, but we have so many from our first episode. Are you ready for, we'll just try and do two of them. We'll see how
okay,
we do.
Okay. Good.
All right. Here is our first question phoned in by a RoadTrekking.com reader. Ready? Here it is.
Hi, my name is Patty. I was wondering, if you hit a stretch of rainy or otherwise unpleasant weather, how does it change the way you spend your time? Do you two have any special ways of coping? Also, where do you store your chairs when you're traveling?
I wonder if she lives in Michigan. Asking about the bad weather.
All right. Rain and Michigan kind of go hand in hand, don't they?
That's our hometown, our home state is Michigan, although we've been on the road a lot.
All right. Well, if we're in a place that we want to stay, my number one thing is I like to exercise. And if there's a health club nearby, I've worked in a health club for 28 years, so I like health clubs. So if we're in an area where we can go work out, I love to do that. I'm not really a shopper. I don't like to shop. I'm different than most women or other. I guess a lot of men like to shop too, but I don't. And if you're in the middle of nowhere, we could read. Always enjoy reading. Again, we're not that much of television watchers.
I don't think we watched a single television program in this last year, and we were on the road from May until September.
Well, I guess we got to get some good DVDs, something that we like so that we're prepared.
But we're outside all the time, so.
And we're usually moving. We're always doing things.
But I guess DVDs, you know, we have watched a couple of those when it rains.
Yeah, we have watched a couple of movies. And if you live in an area where there's museums, that's always fun. And we like to sit down and plan ahead and get on the computer, Google. Hopefully we have computer access, the internet access, so that we can do some research, what's in the area that we are or where we plan on going, so that we can see what we need to see.
And I think if we're not, you know, stuck in an area, and I mean, you know, planning to stay there for 3 or 4 days, you know, you can just, we've just, you know, well, the weather's bad, let's go, we'll move to the next place, and you can actually drive out of most storms, right?
I know, but sometimes we get in trouble. We start driving, and then we end up driving forever and ever, and we have problems sometimes finding a place to stay.
Remember, yeah, we had one this summer on the Warrior Highway.
Yes. That was a very long ride. We had planned on staying in a state forest, and then I don't know how we missed it, but we couldn't find
a
place.
Well, it was dark. We kept driving and driving, and it was dark.
That we had planned on staying, and then we kept driving forever.
We drove out of Montana, in fact, into South Dakota. That was how bad. And then the deer on the side of the road.
Oh, that was something else. I wish we had thought to take pictures of those deer. I think we were so busy worrying that they were going to get in front of us and that we might hit one, because they were these humongous deer, 2 feet from the side of the road. They hadn't cut, trimmed by the side of the road, and all the deer were out there eating.
Yeah, I mean, literally, I've never seen so many huge bucks as we saw in Montana. But, hey, I guess we kind of moved off the topic there of the question. But we will drive on, and I guess the point there is that sometimes if you start driving, you go too far, you can't get out of it. And that was like a 500 or 600 mile day. That was too long, so. So, and I like naps. You know, if it's going to rain, hey, we'll just take a nap and read. And I always working on the blog, and you get stir crazy, and we usually find a health club to exercise in.
Yeah, happy wife, happy life.
Oh, second part of that question was about where we stow our chairs. And I think she's talking about the brand new chairs we got.
Oh, I call them look at the sky chairs. I love those chairs. They're so comfortable.
Those are those gravity chairs, you know, you kind of. A regular chair, but you just kind of lean back and up it goes. Your head is looking at the sky.
Yeah, so the stowaway, we put them in there, but they took up a lot of the space in the stowaway. And we
stowaways
don't always
are cargo box on the back.
Yeah, I like to take that. And then we start bringing them inside, and that becomes a little dangerous because they can slide and fall a little bit if we don't pack them just right. And our poor dog gets very nervous if they go sliding around. And then every time we want to take a nap, we have to move them. So a little extra work moving things from point A to point B.
Now, that's because we have a Road Trek E-Trek, and in the back, where the garage, the little place under the sofa bed where we would like to store them, we've got a couple of heating hoses that come up for our heater, so the chairs won't fit there. I know I have another friend who has an RS Adventurous Class B, and they can stow a couple of them underneath there. So it just depends on what kind of a unit they have, but they're worth taking, right?
Yes, they are very, very nice on a nice, beautiful day.
All right. Now, normally we'll just do one reader question of the week, but one of our other listeners from the first podcast, I gotta run one more question. We got so many questions last week that it's worth doing. So you ready? Here's another question.
Hi, Mike and Jennifer. This is Maureen. If there's one thing you don't like about the small motorhome lifestyle, what would you answer?
The first thing that popped in my head, insects. That sounds strange, but I would like a screened-in area where we can sit outside. And it doesn't help that we have a dog who is terrified of flying insects. He was stung by a bee, so every flying insect, he becomes terrified.
And he was stung by a bee, what, about 9 years ago?
Well, it was very traumatic for him.
He remembers. He remembers pain. He is. He's terrified. So the dog doesn't like it. He gets kind of paranoid, and he starts panting and stinking up the whole place with bad dog death breath. You know, dog breath. You know what that smells like. So insects.
And space is limited. And again, our pet has a special diet.
Our 70-pound pet?
Yes. We have to bring his dog food because it's prescription.
How much do those bags of dog food weigh?
And they don't weigh that much, but they're just big.
Well, they're like 30 pounds or something.
Well, I think it's more like 20, well, 25, 30.
Two of them.
But we have two bags. Yeah. We have his gluten-free, and then we have his diet dog
for
food.
Pete's sake.
And I'm carrying those bags from the front to the back, to the back to the front. I spend a lot of time. I guess I don't need to worry about lifting weights, right?
Yeah, see, we don't have to run to that health club, and we're good. Well, that's what else don't we like? I guess getting up in the middle of the night, nobody likes that, you know, and we sleep in a king configuration in the sofa bed in the back, and you kind of scooch out to get out.
Right, you know, we keep thinking about maybe trying the twin beds, but I like a lot of room. I move around a lot when I'm sleeping. But it would be more convenient with the twin beds. But
all right. So the thing we don't like the most is insects, and they have been problematic. I'll take the blame.
Yeah, it was kind of a lot of insects this summer.
Yeah, we were someplace along the Bear Truth Highway in Wyoming, Montana, and we just had all these. It was a perfect spot. We were boondocking in the middle of a national forest. There was a beautiful raging stream, a mountain stream behind us. We had deer behind us. But we had so many mosquitoes in there.
I don't know if we should tell people
how stupid
really
I am.
Well,
maybe you're right.
Well, both of us, the insects, we just kept killing them, and it didn't end. And finally, I got up and checked, and I had pulled the curtains in the front, and the windows were down. So we could not keep up with the insects that were coming inside.
We found that was before we had those skeeter beaters. You can find those skeeter beaters on the roadtrekkingstore.com. Roadtrekkingstore.com. Those are those little things that you can leave the window down and the bugs can't get in. But we didn't have them on. And oh my gosh, they were just like everywhere.
I don't know how the windows got down because we don't normally roll the windows down. That's why I wasn't checking for them when I pulled the drapes.
Well, I think it was a hot day, so what are we going to do? Well, anyway, it was a crazy time. Well,
A learning experience.
Thank you for not calling me dumb.
No, I'm the one who pulled the curtains with the windows down.
I'm the one who put the curtains down. See, that's the other thing. We've learned how to get along well with each other as well. We have to be really kind, and it's kind of fun. So, all right. Well, hey, it's nice to have you on the podcast.
It's nice to answer these questions.
All right. That's my wife, Jennifer, and this has been our Questions of the Week.
You're listening to Road Trekking, the podcast. You can find show notes, links to resources and websites Mike and his guests mention, and background material, videos and photos on the roadtrekking.com RV travel blog. And you can also send Mike a voice question to answer on the podcast. From the blog, just click the send voicemail button. That's at roadtrekking.com. The small motorhome RV travel blog.
Traveling with technology. It's time now for our RV Tech Tip of the Week.
A little while ago, we were talking about podcasts and how much fun they are to listen to and how you can listen to them on your iPhone and on your tablet and how most people probably put in a pair of earbuds and listen to them that way. But what if you're in your vehicle, in your RV, and you want to listen, or even if you're driving in your home, your family car? Well, many of the entertainment systems on our vehicles now have, of course, built-in Bluetooth, and they just set the dial on the entertainment device to Bluetooth, sync it up, and you can play it that way. But I'll tell you the way we have been using it, the way we used it this summer, and it's even cooler than the entertainment system Bluetooth, is through a little device we picked up. We got it at the Verizon store. It's also available on Amazon. It's about $79 or so. It's pretty cool. It is the UE Mini Boombox, and that's from Logitech. It's a pretty cool little device. It's a little red thing. It's wireless. It'll hold a charge for about 10 hours, and it syncs up with your iPhone or your tablet, And it allows you then to use that to share it with somebody else. Jennifer and I put it in the on the dashboard or in the front console as we're driving, and it's got great volume controls, and we can listen to podcasts. We can listen to Pandora Music, which we listen to a lot, so no commercials. And it's just a really nice way to share a podcast or music together. It's a real small box. I've even taken it when I've done presentations. I speak at some of the rallies around the country, and I'll actually use it there to amplify my sound to show them a video or something, and they can hear the sound better that way. But I'll tell you one other cool thing that besides playing music that we really like on it is this thing works as a speakerphone. So if we're driving, we want to talk to the grandkids and we both want to chat and hear them, we can run it right through the UE boombox, and you can talk to the kids and use it as a speakerphone. So speakerphone, music, podcast. Our gadget of the week is the UE Mini Boombox. It's from Logitech, about $79.
What's on your RV bucket list? Maybe the place Mike has for you now on this week's Road Trekking Destination of the Week.
Well, it's getting colder and colder out there. Wintertime is coming, and many of you in your RVs are planning to take your RV lifestyle south to Florida. Snowbirds, the annual migration of the snowbirds. Well, one of the neatest things to see in Florida, particularly in the wintertime, are the Florida manatees, those beautiful, that some people call them the sea cows, these large, slow-moving aquatic animal. They look like kind of like a cross between a hippopotamus and maybe an elephant. I don't know. You see them all over the place. They're very big, and they're very much in danger. They're on the federal endangered species list primarily because they're too big and too slow to get out of the way of speedboats. And as Florida's boating population has exploded, the manatee has declined. The experts say there's only about 5,000 of them now. They used to be everywhere, but despite the gallant efforts of wildlife managers to protect them every year, there's fewer and fewer. But if you want to see one, here's the best bet in all of Florida. Now, you can see them on the East Coast, but the best part we have found is in the central part of the state, Florida's Blue Springs State Park. Put this on your bucket list. Blue Springs State Park in Orange City, Florida. It's about 45 miles northwest of Orlando. And every winter at Blue Springs, from basically early November to mid-April, a tiny little spit of water that is called the Blue Springs Run is filled with these gentle giants, often called sea cows. That's how gentle they are. The Blue Springs Run, it flows into the St. John's River, and it emanates from a very deep underground spring that burps up this crystal clear water, never varies from a temperature of about 70 degrees, and that's what draws the manatees. They want to keep warm in that water. As Florida cools off in the wintertime. So Blue Spring is designated as a manatee refuge and the winter home to a growing population of manatees. Some years they say there's as many as 350 of them there, and it's only about a half a mile long, this little spring, this little Blue Springs Run. It's about 100 or so feet wide. It's very shallow, and the water's so clear, you can see these things. We were there, and I think it was in February, and they were all over the place. I took some great photos of them, and along with the show notes here on the blog, I'll put a link to my blog story, and you can take a look at all of the photos of the manatees and also get some more information about Blue Springs State Park. For RVers, it's a great place. The state park there has 51 large private campsites. All of them have picnic tables, a fire pit, large lots, full electric and water hookups. There's a little trail that you can take right to the springs from your campsite. You don't have to drive. It's and there's a boardwalk that goes all along that spring. It's a delight of a place. Jennifer and I just really enjoyed it, and we go to Florida a lot. And this is the first time we've been to that state park, and we will be back. So it's pretty cool. And by the way, there's some signs there warning about feeding bears, which are seen in the park in Central Florida. So check it out. The springs are about a half-mile walk. It's shaded. It starts right next to Site 18 there. It takes you down the boardwalk that parallels Blue Spring Run. You need to see that place, the Blue Spring State Park in Florida. Really cool place. You got to go there.
Traveling North America in a Class B motor home. This has been Road Trekking the Podcast with journalist Mike Wendland. Got a question for next week? Click the send voicemail link on the roadtrekking.com blog. Till then, we'll see you out there. Road Trekking. Road Trekking.
Well, that does episode number 3. I hope you enjoyed it. No, it's actually episode number 2. I'm working on number 3. That was a little trick. I'm working on 3. That'll come up soon. Hope you enjoyed it. Please subscribe to iTunes, to us via the iTunes or the Stitcher accounts. Also, do us a favor and leave a review. It really helps with our rankings. We are delighted to have you a part of this. Send us your questions. Use the voice link on the roadtrekking.com blog. Till next time, I'm Mike Wendland. Thank you so much. Road Trekking across North America. We'll see you out there.